Children can go into the first kids space of the year now, if they would like. If they think what we're doing is really, really cool, they can stay. No? Hardly surprising, is it? I might have left my clicker back here too. Awesome. Oh, can I grab the clicker? Thank you. Thanks. All right. I think we're organized. If there's any volume there, Caleb, can everyone hear me? Ish? So, week two in our 5-week thereabouts series on our values. Bit of admin. What was the first week? Anyone? Momentum. What happened last week? Say again. Momentum. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. A very unscripted, unplanned move of God to touch a few people's lives. To encourage a few people to speak and share what they thought the Lord was sharing with them, and it was lovely. And there's a sense in which that momentum may indeed continue. And it's fitting, I think, therefore, that I speak this morning on expectancy. I was raised in the church. My father was a pastor of a couple of brethren assemblies in his time in a Baptist church in his final stint as pastor. And my first recollection of a memorized Bible verse is a somewhat surprising one, given that I was probably weaned on things like John 3:16 and other classic verses that I would have had saturated in me from my Sunday school years. But the one verse I can remember learning as a child distinctly from my father while he was pastoring the Brethren Assembly in Morrinsville, I can even picture where I was at the time. I was in his workshop. And he said, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Proverbs 13:12. I didn't learn the reference, but I knew it was a proverb. And that verse stuck with me. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. I guess that there's a potential that in that verse sticking, there was a good chance it was because I was finding childhood disappointing. Wasn't living up to my expectations. And my father decided in his fatherly wisdom to let me down a little, to soften the blow. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You're disappointed, son, because maybe you're expecting too much. Maybe. Now, there's another distinct possibility of why this verse and why it stuck with me. It might be more that the father himself was looking at the son thinking, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Speaking of my potential, or at least what was revealed at the time. That might be true. Nevertheless, that was the verse that stuck with me. And I suppose it was because it feels real. It feels real. That if you hope for something and it doesn't happen, you get sick at heart. I remember, and I've shared this story several times with several people, when my parents were going on a trip to America. I can't remember exactly the occasion, and I was maybe 12 or 13, and I wanted a transformer, a particular transformer. You know, this is the robots that transform into planes and cars and trucks and things, and I set my heart on this. What do you think happened? It didn't happen. Yeah. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So when upholding a value like expectancy, I think it's important that we start talking about the problem of disappointment. And this was something that came up instantly when we discussed it as elders. The fear that you might hope for something that won't happen, that is unrealistic, will never happen, that for some reason you latched onto an idea and pinned all your hopes on it, expected it to happen, and it didn't. The image David gave us, he has an aviary, he raises birds, breeds them, and he says occasionally a mother chick is sitting on a rotten egg. There's no life in it. And he said that's sometimes the experience of being a Christian. We're actually sitting on a rotten egg. We think it is something we can expect, but discover over time it gets a bit smelly. So we grow disappointed. But we don't become anti-God, do we? And I think you would probably share this experience with me, that you being disappointed with God doesn't mean that you therefore reject God. Not necessarily. Instead, we do something else. This whiteboard is reality. Naturally, because all whiteboards are. Especially for Sam, because he's a teacher. We don't give up on God. We don't stop believing he exists. But we put him up here. This is up high in the heavens. God high and lifted up. He still exists. And we have this hope that he has prepared a place for us that we who are down here on earth will one day escape our disappointing material reality into this far better heavenly / spiritual one. But we have this big gap in the middle. It is that part where we go, he is real, but he has left us to our traces here on earth. If we trust him, he will one day let us in to his kingdom up here. But I'm not going to hope much for what he might do. I'm not going to expect him to do anything for me here and now. That's just a path to disappointment. Now, you may not consciously do this. I don't consciously do this, but we often practice this. It's called deism. It's where God has made the earth, made all things, and then retreated and let it run its course. And we think that trusting that is being realistic. Being realistic is sticking to, well, what is real, what we can expect, trusting in gravity because it's fairly reliable, trusting in the sun because it's proven to be fairly reliable. But anything else is this gap. And that may describe you right now not as a not as consciously wanting to do that, but that's where you've ended up because you've been disappointed. I'm sure that is not an uncommon experience. It's me, definitely, more than I'd like to admit, functionally, if not the way I think. If miracles do happen, and again, we might think, yes, I agree that they do happen, a little bit like a lolly scramble. If I just happen to be in the right place, I'll get a lolly, otherwise I miss out, and I can't rely on it. And dare I say it, expectancy is trying to bridge that gap. So I need to talk to it in a way, hopefully, that's wise and real, and that we can latch on it onto it as a church, as a community, that will lead us to good places, not to vast disappointment. That said, life is risk, and life with God is risk. And to risk with God is to be disappointed. It is to go through those things. We cannot avoid it. We just have to learn to process it and how to think through it. So I cannot give you a foolproof formula for trusting in God without any disappointment. I can't give you that. though some of you may be very trusting by nature and find that relatively easy and are not disappointed because you don't worry about it. So expectancy is trying to fill that middle space, trying to fill it with life, trying to describe it not as empty and as a vacuum, but as something real and living where there's goodness happening between the heavens and the earth. It's only an apparent gap. Our image from Jocelyn, and gosh, Jocelyn, these images have been so good. I wished you were here last week because the way that the image of that upward just came together beautifully. The image that we've got for expectancy, I'll put it up on the screen so you can see it clearly. But I'll also draw it on here. Because here we are, rooted in earth. We're not rooted in earth, are we? Here we are, on planet earth, material beings, rooted in this present reality. But we're also like a plant growing into that space, nurtured by both things, both by our roots in reality, in the earth, in what is real, if you like, and in another reality, receiving the power from the sun, nurtured by both things. That is our image for expectancy, that we would grow deep roots and reach to the heavens and bridge that gap with life, with hope. Does it help? Does it give a good framework for what I'm saying? I hope so. Why risk the disappointment? Well, I remind you of that proverb that I learned. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. There's another half to it. It's not the full proverb. My father, in his looking at his disappointing son, decided not to finish that for me. A longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Which again connects to the image that we have for expectancy. We may think it's better not to have hope, but in the end, if we want the tree of life, we are going to need to have longings that will need to be fulfilled. So expectancy, hope, faith, they are essential, even if they're risky. So I want to turn to a scripture which talks about living things. And as Jesus describing a principle of his kingdom and of the reality that he's inducting his disciples into. It's in John 15, and I've chosen a couple of parts in it. It's not the full text. And it goes like this. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, that is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, that particularly connects to last week, momentum, which I described as the idea of getting into God's updraft, into his spirit, with the image from Isaiah 40, where the eagle is carried higher and higher simply by the energy of staying in the updraft. It does not require to flap its wings, just to lock its wings and stay in and rise higher and higher. And it is carried up, godly momentum, rather than our momentum, our human effort, striving and striving and striving and trying to make it work. This is the same idea that Jesus is using, but using his metaphor, which is he is the vine. And if we stay grafted into him, if we are plugged into him, then the life flows. We don't make the life happen. We don't make the fruit come. We just stay in the vine and it happens because that's what happens when life is going through a vine. Grapes grow without the vine straining. Have you seen a vine strain? Sweating viney tears, trying to push out some more. It just, trying to keep a vine back is the challenge. So that connects to last week and now into this week, where we're going to talk about expectancy. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Jeff last week, when asked, what is God's project? He responded using the one of the creeds or something or other, that God exists to glorify himself. Well, how is the Father glorified? By you and me bearing fruit. That's how the Father's glorified. Through us. Imagine that. The Father is glorified when we bear much fruit and prove to be disciples of Christ. For as the Father has loved me, Jesus said, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. The fruit and the conditions in which the fruit grow are love. They may manifest in many different ways, but they are love. What are we to be expectant of? And how do we build our expectancy? Within love. Now, there are some words in that that literally just pop off the page. Is there anything there that for you seems, whoa, that sets the expectancy bar fairly high? Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That seems to me the prime conditions in which to establish disappointment. Have you asked whatever you wished and has it been done for you? Anyone? Has anyone asked for whatever they wished, trusting that the Lord wasn't lying and had it done for you? Yeah? In every case? No, not every case. Okay. So there's a gap. There's a, yes, he has answered prayer. No, he hasn't answered prayer. Or if he answered it, he said no. The statement seems to be, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Not ask whatever you wish and some will be done for you. The statement's a fairly high standard. We'll get there. This is a great way, though, to set up very high expectations that doom us for failure. This is how people will establish an idea and say, this is what Christ said. If you just trust Christ, have faith in Jesus, anything will happen for you. And everything will happen. Just wish whatever you want. You extract a verse out of its context and use it. But that's not all that Jesus says here. He definitely said it. But what are the conditions? Of course, that you might be abiding in Christ. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. If we abide in Christ, and his words abide in us, we can ask whatever we wish. There is a reasonable expectation for some expectancy here. If we abide in Christ, and his words abide in us. What does it mean to abide in Christ? It means staying in a loving relationship. He uses the metaphor of the vine, but we're not vines. We are people. And he's not a vine. That's a metaphor. He is a being. And to abide in him is to stay in a close, loving relationship with him. Abide in my love, Jesus says in verse 9. How do we abide in his love? Obedience. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. It's not a gushy, gooey, emotional state that he's leaning toward. It is obedience. We all have our love languages. For Christ, it's obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will obey me. That being true for us, it turns out it was true for Jesus too. because he obeyed the Father too, didn't he? He abided with the Father, stayed connected to his Father, did incredible things. But there was a point when he said, look, if there's another way, I would like to take it. His wish, if you like, would be not to go to the cross, if there was another way. But in obedience, out of love, for the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross. So we need to be careful with this wishful thinking. Expectancy, yes. Wishful thinking, no. Or if we want to be truly wishful thinking, we need to be wishful thinkers like Christ was a wishful thinker. What did he say? I do only what I see the Father doing. I say only what the Father gives me to say. Christ's wish was to obey his Father, no matter the cost. And incredible things, world, universe, creation-changing things were done through that one life. So we can have high expectancy, provided we have high obedience. Provided our desire is to have his desires. Remember that old quote? He will give you the desires of your heart. Yeah, he'll first shape them to meet his. You'll want what he wants for you. And what does he want for you? How does this text end? That your joy will be full. Not that you'll be disappointed. Expectancy is to trust that the Lord is always up to something, always working, just as Jesus was. My Father is always working. That's high expectancy. He's even working on the Sabbath, even in times when, by your laws, I shouldn't be doing work, but my Father is always working. So what am I to do? I'll do what my Father's doing. That's the better standard. And by that, our joy can be full. Not disappointed. Not crushed, not despairing, not thinking, well, I guess God is high in heaven looking down on us with a good heart. He thinks well of us, but he's not involved with our lives. That's not the picture Jesus gives. The picture he gives is vital connection. The picture he gives is, if you trust, if you obey me, you can have a high expectation that I will work through your life and you will bear much fruit. And by that, you will show the Father to the world. You will glorify him. And it won't be a journey of great crushing disappointment that will lead us to close off in fear against our great Father. So I have another image for you. This is about an open hand or a closed hand. The difference between, if you like, expectations, the closed hand, and expectancy, an open hand. Expectations, the closed hand knows already what it wants. It is already predetermined and grasped and is grasping for what it wants. It has already an idea, a hope, a certain, this is what needs to happen. And sometimes it doesn't get what it grasps for. An open hand says, anything can happen. I would like to receive the Father's will for me or for the person I'm praying for, for the church I'm in. I have not got a predetermined outcome. I trust your love. I trust your wisdom. And I am here to receive. And I will do only what you tell me to do. I will say only what you tell me to say. I have an open hand. This is expectancy. And if nothing is placed in that hand, then that is okay. And if something is placed in that hand, what does an open hand do? It passes it on. It does not say, great, all good, great for me. I have been given a gift for me. No, I have been given a gift. Lord, for whom is this? Who do I give this to? You have given me something. You invited me into something. I mean, when Jesus was given gifts to heal and to give words, to encourage, to teach, he pours his life out. As the Father poured into him, he was pouring out an open hand. I'm just here to receive and to hand on. And the Pharisees were here. We're here to grab and to hold on to. And they were disappointed. And Christ and those who follow him are not. But it's hard to have an open hand. Because we like to control. But expectancy is not about controlling. It is about submitting. It is about, as Christ said, if you obey me, if you are willing to do what I say, if you are willing to stay close to me in relationship, well, whatever you want, Lord, I'll do it, then crazy things will follow. Equally, if we can't, if either by disappointment or because we just are so self-willed, aren't we? We already know what we want. We already have plans for the money that's been given to us. We already have plans for the business that we have built up. We already have plans for our career, for whatever it is. We have our plans, and these are our closed hands. And expectancy is to open that hand and say, well, Lord, whatever you want. Because that's what matters most. I'd like to read another scripture, and I'd invite you to close your eyes. It's from Ephesians 3. It's a prayer that Paul prays, and it was very important, particularly for me last year when we went through our 10 days of prayer. I can't remember actually what the value was we were praying about at the time when this became important to me, but I think it will make some sense now. And so I just want to ask the Lord to speak to us. Through his word. Lord, we can trust you. Lord, forgive us that we've felt disappointed by what you've done. We know that you're gracious toward us and you know our limits. And you forgive those moments when we're not able to trust. You know what it's like. You have been in our shoes. And you're gentle. But Lord, you are our high priest as well. And I come before you asking that your spirit will speak to us according to the words of Paul. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. You are one of his children. You might want to put your hands out to receive, either just gently in your lap or according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with everyone else here what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord, we can only know your love by your incredible power in us to strengthen us to receive it. Lord, we love weakly because we are weak. We struggle to obey you and to abide in you because we are weak. Lord, there's a couple of people here who want to receive your invitation to stop striving to be the right kind of Christian and start allowing you and your Spirit to let that life flow through them, to release them from the burden of being the good, moral, and upstanding citizen by their own efforts, but Lord, that they would come into your Spirit and feel your power in them, changing their hearts and their desires to meet yours. That bearing fruit will be an effortless part of being human. If that's you this morning, I just ask that you receive that in the name of Jesus. And I just ask, if there is anyone who knows they should say something right now, they would like to say something. No, they wouldn't like to. They know they need to. And if you'd like to say something, but you don't think you need to, then please, just hold your quiet. But if in response to their prayer, there's something you need to say, I invite you to say that now. Someone teetering on that edge of, oh, I think I have something. Great. Awesome. Fantastic. That's great. Lord, bless that. Bless that. Is there one other? This is the practice of expectancy, by the way. Leaving space. Or Robin as well. Carry on. Yeah, carry on. Yeah, it's good. Yes. Thank you. Robin, you had something as well? Eugene Peterson's translation of that text where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary." He has the phrase, "the unforced rhythms of grace," which sounds so different to sometimes the way we've suggested we should be Christian, to force things, to become the better person by sheer will. But the unforced rhythm of grace is an invitation to let the Lord transform us. But it does require submission, allegiance, loyalty, as Robin would say. Let me finish with what Paul finishes with. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think." You think our expectations are high. You think God's expectancy is far higher than ours. He can do far more than we ask or think. "According to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So what is expectancy? It is the value of trusting Jesus like Jesus trusted the Father. Believing that anything can happen at any time and having an open hand to that. So a couple of questions to ponder on. How can we grow in expectancy? And you might even have some ideas of, well, what gets in the way? What makes it hard? What has impacted you and caused you to think or act more like this deistic picture where God is far and distant, loving but lovingly distant, and we're trapped on earth? And what does expectancy look like in practice? And again, just what we did just before of, "Lord, you come and speak," right? You don't want to hear me talk. But if this voice crying out in the wilderness might let us hear the Lord's voice, then that's fine. So that's a practice of expectancy, waiting on the Lord to speak. And if nothing is said, nothing's said, that's fine. We go home still happy. But if something is said, if someone does receive something, then wow, what a treasure. But there might be others that you think of in your own life and in our corporate life. Okay. You all right? Slightly stunned mullets in some cases, maybe? Processing? It's so hard to read some people, eh? Like the covers come back. You can say one thing. Was that it? Yeah, great. Thanks, Rick. So again, just for mainly for the podcast, because you might have heard him already. We grow in expectancy best together. Doing it on our own is hard. It's too hard. And we do that on a Sunday morning, and we can do that here, but also in life groups, gathering during the week to encourage one another. I would suggest in adding to that, Rick, that our usual practice of studying would need to be widened, I think, to include a usual practice of listening to God and to one another. The problem of expectation is normally we have thought out what we already want, and we're not asking the Lord what he wants. We close our minds, not just our hands. So that would be something to perhaps practice in life groups. Time to listen to the Lord and share with one another what he's saying might be a good thing. Would be a good thing. All right, before we go on much longer, let me bless you and release you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance upon you and bring you peace. And in Māori, mā iho a koe e manaaki, mana koe e tiaki. Mā iho e mea ki a tia ho tonamata ki a koe. Mana hoki koe e atawhai. Mā iho a tono ko nohi e whakara ki a koe. Mana anō e tuku taranga marie ki a koe. Thank you for coming. It wouldn't have been the same without you. If you would like prayer, or anything in particular, please just come. We have a prayer spot here. You're welcome to come here and we will pray for you, pray with you, pray because of you. Yeah. Otherwise, tea and coffee. Fellowship through, worship through fellowship.